Tempe on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app, and on Thursdays, we have fun. So much fun, in fact. Gary Hess is sitting here right next to me.
That's right, yes, yes. Fun to be had. How you doing, man?
Not as much fun as you had Friday night. What a game.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was so good. And Dinwiddie's used to winning now. But the way the general celebrated tells you all you need to know about the status of the Highland Springs football program.
It's one thing, you're on the bus, you're coming up 85, you're driving to the airport, and you're saying, "We're gonna beat them, we're gonna beat them." It's another thing to beat Highland Springs in their house.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? They really did a great job of making adjustments. And, the demise of the Dinwiddie program without Harry Dalton may have been exaggerated a little bit.
They don't rebuild, they reload.
Maybe to steal somebody else's... That's right, all other appropriate cliches, exactly.
You win the game, you get the slogan. They get to take it back down 85 with them to Dinwiddie.
That's right.
Remind me, who we got tomorrow?
Okay, it's top-ranked Verina coming to this side of Henrico County to face Hermitage.
I'd watch that.
So yes. Hermitage ranked, I don't remember exactly, in the lower half of our top 10, I think 8th or 9th, something like that. And comes in with a 2-0 record off a bye week, and this is one of those games you see about this point every year.
Yeah.
And it's usually pretty good theater. Between the Blue Devils and the Panthers. So
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. So I'll be down by Thomasdale tonight. I'm doing the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame for the second year.
That's right.
Still haven't been picked. That's all right. I'm not bitter about it. we got to...
Unlike you, I grew up in Chesterfield. I haven't been picked either.
Yeah, JC, where you at on that
one? That's right. Come on, Poma.
Just a fantastic. Have you been in that theater down there at the Perkinson Center?
I have not.
Beautiful building.
I have heard that, but yes. I have not been there.
Well, it will be, which leads me into Thomasdale hosting Glen Allen as well. That's a nice game.
That's the other red letter game on the. We need to find out a little bit more about Thomasdale. I know they beat Bird in the rivalry game 21-0. Skyhawks may be down a little bit. Glen Allen has really acquitted itself well, 2-1, the last second loss to Manchester. There's no shame in that. That's the other game that we're really going to be seeing. And you know how it is, you get into a 10, it's just the same thing about like in the NFL, college football, it's a 10-game schedule in high school. You get 3 games in, you start figuring out a little bit about who's who and what's what.
Time to start adding up those PowerPoints.
Exactly. And Glen Allen and Thomasdale's going to be in a bad mood. Glen Allen welcomed them to Staples Mill Road last year and sent them home. I think it was 28-3.
Woo!
It was a whooping. And that'll be... It'll be interesting to see how Glen Allen does down there tonight and how Thomasdale responds.
Gary Hess is the voice of high school football in Richmond Friday nights. Back on the Fan, back home where you belong.
Yes,
welcome.
Back on the friendly confines. And tonight, the season premiere of the Thursday High School Walkthrough, 6 o'clock. We'll be joined by... we have several guests, and I'm trying to remember who they are. Hanover coach Sam Rogers is joining us.
I don't even know who's in our next segment. Sorry, Lane.
Manchester coach Jason Harrell will be with us. And then I want to mention we're also going to be joined by Trinity Episcopal coach Sam Mickens, which leads me to the fact that when I talk about the 4 major private schools in the Richmond area, I'm talking Benedictine, Trinity, St. Christopher's Collegiate, are a combined 12-0.
Woo!
Hello.
Yeah.
So next week, the round robin begins as St. Christopher's and Benedictine meet.
And with respect to Trinity, that's going to be a game.
Yes.
That's going to sort some things out. I guess the respect is to Collegiate because I left them out of the... I think the other 3 are more serious title contenders at the moment.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think anybody would disagree with you, including the folks at Collegiate.
We don't sleep on 3-0, though.
But it doesn't change the fact that they're 3-0.
Darn right.
I would agree with you 100% on that. And, St. Christopher's resume always includes that win over Huguenot. Benedictine has a win over Metoka, so they've showed their thing against the public schools. Trinity gets its chance later this season when they go to Glen Allen.
Oh, I'd watch that one as well.
Yeah, so that one may or may not show up on our air schedule later on sometime in October.
A tease, folks. It's a tease.
It's in pencil, though. A tease in pencil.
High school walkthrough. Thursday night's always a good time.
Yep.
Friday night game. I want to ask you about the Hokies, though.
Okay.
You've been around for a long time.
I have.
That the Hokies have been around long enough to be, I guess, not a blue blood, but whatever that next cut is. Like, they're a name program in college football.
Right.
We hear, can they contend in the new world? I want to know what you think. Can the Hokies contend in the new world, in this NIL world? Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible? Do I think it's going to happen?
It's
that's
tough.
A whole different question.
It's tough.
That, you know, you got to make the big money commitment. You got to bring in the right kind of coach, and you got to have that fan. You know, there's been a lot of comparisons this week about comparing Virginia Tech to UCLA because of the timing of what's happened. You know, UCLA has the money coming in from the Big Ten.
Yep.
They have made a deal with a private equity. You know, the other thing is UCLA's drowning in red ink in their athletic department as a whole.
Yeah.
And then UCLA is, you know, dealing with fan apathy to the nth degree. While there's been some disgruntledness, which is not really a word, among the fans of the Hokies, they still have a passionate fan base.
That's so true. And they showed out.
And that is a huge part of the equation. You got to have that part.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other parts they've got to put together. They're talking a big game about the upping the financial commitment and all of that. But, you know, making the financial commitment doesn't matter if you don't bring in folks that, A, know how to spend the money correctly on the right people, and then how to coach those people to win football games.
I think the statute of limitations has passed on this. You remember Shaka Smart got wooed by UCLA at one point, and that was when it was like, oh, shoot, UCLA. He came back and he said, those people don't have their stuff together. Basically, like, I went out there, like, to go look into coaching John Wooden's school, mm-hmm. and I saw, like, John Wooden era facilities out there. Like, they're a mess. I don't think Virginia Tech's a mess. I think Virginia Tech's just struggling to keep up in absolutely insane arms race.
I think it's flying at the speed of sound.
Whew.
Which is why letting, you know, somebody's, you know, so I heard somebody say, you know, I'm surprised they, you know, didn't, you know, wait to make the change till the end of the season. I would say two things to that. Number one, obviously didn't watch the Old Dominion game.
Goodness.
Holy cow. And then the second thing is, we can't wait till the end of the season. We got to start now if we're going to get this thing right.
This is not pick a coach. They're picking a financial plan. When the board meets later this month, they're going to decide how much they're going to invest into it. They're picking the athletic director, who will pick the coach. The athletic director's not coming until he knows how much money he's getting. The coach isn't coming until he knows who's going to be helping funnel that money to him. This is a process.
Yeah, lots of dominoes have to fall, and who the new coach is going to be and what the on-field product's going to look like in 2026 is 8 or 9 dominoes down by far.
Now, I do think we're in a world where with the portal, and you know, we all hate everything college sports is turning into, blah, 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 there is at least the ability to rebuild quickly, which has not existed in past years.
Completely. Unpopular opinion with a lot of college football purists.
So ready.
I don't like what is happening to college football, just like everybody else. But you know what? On Saturdays, when the games are going on, I don't think about that.
They're spectacular.
They're still great. The theater is still great. College football is still fabulous. Everything about it is just wonderful. And, you know, Sunday through Friday, I worry about all that other stuff. But on Saturdays, the theater is still great, which is the thing college football's got going for it.
Well, the NFL, you know, just gives itself a black eye 6 days a week. And then on Sundays, it shows up and delivers the best entertainment product in America.
100%. Yeah. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Wofford, Virginia Tech on Saturday. UVA, who spent on a quarterback, Chandler Morris. And we see now that's a competitive football team hosting Stanford this
weekend. They are competitive. And I have seen a lot of social media posts from my friends, and some of them may be your friends as well, who may be Virginia Tech grads, who are speaking to their UVA friends and are saying, hey, if you don't get us this year, you're never gonna.
This is hot take. This is a bad thing for Tony Elliott, because he could have 7 wins going into that game, and in a normal season, you lose to Virginia Tech, whatever, you had 7 wins, you showed progress. I think he has to beat them this year.
I don't disagree with you a bit.
In Charlottesville.
Oh, my goodness.
Better quarterback. They got an interim coach. Are you kidding me? I think that flips it into the must-win column.
I think, you know, and going and switching to that, I think it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, I know they're playing Wofford. I know the Hokies are playing Wofford, and I know what that is. But I'm going to be very interested to see what the Hokies look like, just in terms of how they carry themselves, the amount of interest they show, because the effort that was put forth against Old Dominion will not stand.
At halftime of that game, it was a done deal. You couldn't let Brent Pry run out of the tunnel before the Wofford game. The fans would have booed. You owe it to the players. You mentioned such a great home field atmosphere. They wouldn't have had one on Saturday.
No, I totally agree. And Brent Pry was the first one that knew that too.
He knew. Yeah. He knew at halftime that was his last half coaching. Philip Montgomery, I think, is going to be watching Kyren Drones closely. I think he needs to figure out, do I need to make a change there? Not because I think I have somebody better, but just to try to inject some energy into this thing.
I don't think there's any question about that. Sometimes change for change's sake is the thing to do.
Let's rearrange some deck chairs, because we got nine more of these. for Leo sings, Celine Dion sings us out, and Leo goes down, and we got nine more. Exactly. It's a long movie, and it's a long season.
That's exactly right.
Gary Hess, tomorrow night, Eastern Henrico versus Western Henrico.
Right.
The showdown is real.
At least Central Henrico. More West than Verina is.
Central-ish,
sure.
Henrico. The helmets exploded, but I didn't quite sell it there.
No, it's all good. 6:30, Sports Radio 910 The Fan, back on the friendly confines. We're very excited about it.
We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Get some duct tape here. We'll fix our system so we get through it. That's all right. There we go. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, held together by duct tape and Megan's excellent producing work.
Thank you.
We're going to get there. I believe in it. It's Thursday. We welcome in our friend Lane Cassadante to the show. He's a sports director at CBS 6, produced some very nice coverage Sunday from the final day at the Diamond. Was lucky enough to run into him there, chat for a few. Lane, how's it going?
Hey, good morning, Michael. How's everybody?
Everybody's good here. Gary Hess just left. He's a one-legged man, but he's a fighter, and he's got the spirit of a champion. He's going to call high school football tomorrow night. So
he's always been as busy as the proverbial one-legged man. So now he actually fits the mold a little closer.
He's living. It's a little too close to on the nose. Exactly. I want to get to Brent Pry, obviously, but before we do, tell me about your day Sunday at the Diamond. You, like me, were not here for the opening of the Diamond, but we've both spent a lot of time there over the years. What did it mean to you to close that place down?
You know, somebody asked me that, and it's very hard to separate the work and the job that you have to do with, you know, any kind of emotional attachment or feelings that you might have during a moment like that, because we had a specific set of, you know, we had obligations that we had to do that day. So you're never really enjoying anything as a fan. I'm more excited for what is going to come next year when fans really see what a modern ballpark will be like. I explained it, and I think we've used this analogy on your show before. Imagine if you bought a car in 1985 and you really liked the car, but you had to put a lot of money into it over the years. You were used to it, and it got you from point A to point B, but it was still a car from 1985. And now imagine if you bought a car in 2025, how much different the technology would be, how much different the experience would be. That is what fans are going to get when CarMax Park finally opens next April. It is going to be baseball. The dimensions will be very similar. The Diamond will be the exact same, but the whole experience is going to be 180 degrees different than what, you know, multiple generations have lived through here in going to that stadium.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how big of a change it is and how different their experience will be, because there's a lot of things that just weren't baked into a baseball stadium in 1985. Like, concessions were kind of an afterthought. Like, you went, you got some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, like in the song. Now people are getting craft beers and, you know, gourmet foods, and they want to walk around and they don't want to just sit in their seat, but they want to have that 360 view. All those things are game changers and changes the way we watch. And you know, you've been to the Kickers games too, right? They got the balconies and they got the craft brews. It's not just sports anymore. It's an entertainment product.
It's become an experience, and it's become a night out. Much like, you know, when you go to a party, you know, unless you're an amazing introvert, you usually don't sit in the same spot for the whole night, unless you're, you know, you're somebody like Parney and holding court and people come to you. You move around. You talk to different people. You experience things from a different angle. If they have a balcony, you go out and look at the view. You come back in, to your point, you get something to drink, you get something to eat. A baseball game has become that. The Diamond did not allow that to the extent that it can be allowed with a more modern facility. And I know you've been to parks like this. I have as well. I've seen parks almost identical to what CarMax is going to look like out in Arizona. And that's what I tell everybody. You can be nostalgic about the Diamond because you grew up going there. You saw your first fireworks show there. You know, you met the Diamond Duck. You met Nutsy. Your kids met Nutsy and Natasha. You can be nostalgic for all that. But when you get that new car next spring, you're going to be like, oh, my God, why didn't I do this sooner?
Should have listened to the dealer, man. They weren't lying.
Should have listened to the dealer, yes.
Link Casadante joins us from CBS 6. WTVR.com is the site. Obviously, the biggest story this week. Virginia Tech moving on from Brent Pry. Had to happen after you go down 28-0 to Old Dominion, obviously. The rest of this season is probably largely lost. The UVA game remains important. But give me your thoughts on where this program is long-term, because the fan base is still very good. The aspirations are still very high, but this is not Frank Beamer's college football anymore.
And you cannot rebuild the program the way Frank originally built it either. I remember in Frank's sixth season, he went 2-9-1, and he would never survive in today's climate because the pressure is too high, the money is too great, and the expectations are too in your face. You know, what have you done for me right now? A lot of people thought that Brent Pry being a bit of a legacy hire, you know, kind of growing up in the Frank program, you know, he might be able to bring some of that back. And it's not coming back, not in the way that you all remember it. It's got to be different. And we don't really know what the future of this program is until the end of the month when the Board of Visitors makes their ruling on the request that Athletic Director Whit Babcock made to have a major influx of money. I believe he asked for $50 million. And, you know, unless you are the Oklahomas or the Alabamas or, you know, the Georgias of the world, that you don't have that money in your couch cushions. So it's not just a question of, you know, tapping two or three people and saying, okay, now we have $50 million. That is a significant investment no matter what the program is. And the future of the entire, and this is, I know football is driving all of this and it is the primary focus in sport down there, but this is for the entire athletic department at Virginia Tech. The future of all of this is going to depend on their future investment, and we'll hopefully find out more about that at the end of the month. But one thing about, and I don't know how much sound you ran from Whit Babcock when he read from a statement on Tuesday, didn't take any questions, but that was probably the least passionate and most disinterested statement that I've ever heard an administrator read about the future of the program over which he currently presides. And I know, you know, we've heard a lot of stories from down there, and we, you know, his days are most likely numbered in that role, but he didn't, you know, if I'm an alumni, if I'm a donor, a booster, or if I'm just a fan, that did not give me a tremendous amount of confidence listening to him talk about how they are supposedly going to re-alter and reshape the future of athletics in Blacksburg.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to get to pick the next football coach. He talked about how he will help advise the committee. That tells me that he's not running point on this one either. He's had a great run at Virginia Tech, unquestionably, you know, has led them into the ACC, has led them into prominence. But when you miss twice on football hires, they come for you quickly. And it's a time of massive change. And that change, as you mentioned, starts with the board putting a number on a piece of paper. And then they'll find out what that number gets you in terms of a football program. It's the reality of football these days. Lane Casadante, CBS 6, of course, Final Score Friday every single week. Man, what a thriller last week. Dinwiddie coming up, knocking off Highland Springs in overtime. I know we got some good games this week, but I'm kind of still on that one.
Yeah, that was very impressive. And this is just the second – This is the first time in 25 years that Highland Springs has lost back-to-back regular season games in back-to-back seasons. And that just there, you know, and that was before Lauren Johnson came to the program. But his sustained excellence is something that I think a lot of people have taken for granted. And Dinwiddie is no slouch. Billy Mills, you know, one school county, you know, he has great athletes week in and week out down there, and his staff knows how to coach those kids up. And the fact that they had to come back in the second half, you know, at the end, when they needed it, they got it twice. At the end of the fourth quarter and then again in overtime, and shut out Highland Springs over the second half. So if you want to point to, you know, it's only been 3 weeks. It's obviously a candidate for game of the year. A lot of other games are going to have to made a very high bar to surpass it. But, yeah, that was a very impressive performance and a game that you would expect out of two teams, two coaches, and two programs that have accomplished as much as they have.
Oh, no doubt about it. Lane Casadante, recap, I think game of the year, very apt. Of course, we'll see what this week brings us and many more still to come with playoff implications down the line. Lane, anything you want to talk about in terms of WTVR.com and CBS6 this weekend?
We actually have, there are two things tonight. Of course, I believe you'll be there, the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame inductions.
I'll be there.
You will be there.
I'll be on stage.
Well, Megan Walker headlines this year's class from Monacan and UConn and all the great stuff that she's done. Of course, that is tonight. And then later tonight, we have a Beyond the Roster feature on a man named Will Turner. He's a local triathlete that we first profiled 6 years ago when he did he completed 60 Ironman triathlons in the year that he turned 60.
Woo!
Okay, he's got a screw loose, right? Yes, of course. So, and I've said this to Will many, many times, but he, you know, he also, when he turned 65, he came up with this challenge, and he did. Nobody challenged him to do it. Nobody's ever done it before. He came up with it himself. It's called the Sierra 914. And what he basically did is when he turned 65, he traversed the equivalency of 6.5 triathlons. And it equates to 914 miles. And tonight we'll go into some of the details of why he did it, how long he had to finish it, and it caught the attention of a filmmaker from Tennessee who has put together a documentary about this accomplishment by Will, and the documentary is debuting at the Richmond International Film Festival at the Byrd Theater later this month. So that's the night at 11. It's Will Turner and Sierra 914, and we'll have more details on, you know, just how crazy Will is and, you know, how much he had to do to accomplish this.
Sports, Halls of Fame, fine cinema. There's nowhere you won't find Lane Casadante. Catch him every night on CBS6. Lane, appreciate the time.
All right, Michael, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We're back with more on Jaden Daniels and that knee after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. We're flying you towards a football weekend, Football Friday on The Fan. We've got high school action for you. Number one, Verina plays right here. Gary Hess, Coach Chris have the call on Friday Night Lights right here on The Fan, 32nd season high school football on The Fan. It's the Commanders on Sunday. Virginia Tech featuring new leadership tomorrow, or Saturday, rather, that is, on The Fan. But right now, we welcome in for our weekly segment, Parney's Picks, Happy Hour with Parney. You know him, of course, from his work with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, but he also enjoys watching a little football in his spare time. Parney, what's up?
What's up, MP? I'm struggling after the big week last week. I think I wore my body out. I certainly didn't expend a lot of energy making football picks last week. That's for daggone sure.
Here's the thing. We've got a lot of asterisks here. One is, last week was the last week ever at the Diamond. It was an emotional week. It was a week filled with activities. You were around doing stuff all week. We'll get to the Parney time in a second, but that's asterisk number one. You can't possibly be held responsible for that. Asterisk number two is, I gave you the Clemson-Georgia Tech game, and I said, this is the classic Vegas knows line. They're saying Georgia Tech's going to win. But you correctly said, I don't like the Georgia Tech coach. I don't like his attitude, so I can't take them. That's half a loss at best. You knew the score, you knew the situation, but you stuck to your principles, Parney, and I think right. That counts for something. Not points in the picks, but something.
Well, we'll see. I told you coming into this year, we were so hot last year, it might be a rough one, but what a great week it was last week. I can't say enough about everybody coming out to the Diamond, 52,000 strong. So many people saying thank you. No wonder I got the cold or flu or whatever, because I think I hugged about 30,000 people last week and signed probably 10,000 baseballs and programs and everything else. So everybody made us feel great, and I think the Squirrels said goodbye to the Diamond, I think, in appropriate form. Ben Rothrock, Anthony Opperman, Lou DeBella, the whole bunch of them over there just did a great job, and I was happy to be a small part of it. And well, what you guys did at Parney's Pub Club on Sunday morning, convincing me to I wouldn't have done it without you, honestly. You guys pushed me to do a special inning of Parney's Pub Club or of Parney Time, and I listened to it last night laying in bed because I wasn't feeling great, and I had tears running down my eyes the whole time. It was very emotional for me, and I'm so glad that you guys had me do that.
It was a great time. It was a really fun way to start what was a great day. I had a hot dog at the ballpark one more time. I had fun. Saw so many people went up into the press box. It's like the old sports writers club up there. It just that little bit of happiness, I just imagine for you, it's like times a million because you know everybody there. Parney Time is available everywhere you get your podcast, but also we filmed it the College Game Day style, basically, there at the Diamond.
Basically.
I duct taped my phone to a napkin holder and we filmed it. But it looks good. It's available on Parney Time, the website. I would definitely encourage going and checking that out. Had a lot of great guests. And man, Joe T pouring his heart out. Dude was gonna make me cry there.
Joseph, we only let him say hell yeah and hell no on Parney Time, but he is a very empathetic sort who has a lot of loyalty and emotion to people. So that was good. I was going to chastise you guys for letting him talk, but he said some good things and has a lot of good things to say. So he was with me pretty much the whole week last week, so that was good too.
That is awesome. And of course we'll do it again, and we'll get sick again next year in April, opening up CarMax Park, having an equally big celebration in the parking lot there. That'll be a ton of fun. Parney joins us on Thursdays. He's resting up. The picks never stop, though. It's football. They just keep playing it. And yeah, as mentioned, last week, 1-4 with a big fat asterisk. We're putting it behind us. Nothing to worry about. Life moves on. We move on. Virginia Tech football moves on, Parney. That's the big change this week. Brent Pry out in Blacksburg. Philip Montgomery in as the interim. Did not dissuade the line makers, though. 35.5-point favorites over the Wofford Terriers.
Wow, so we got to pick that game, huh? Talk about starting out with the dogs. 35.5. Philip Montgomery's an offensive coordinator kind of guy. They're going to try to prove to the Hokie Nation that everything's going to be okay. That's a ton of points, but they'll run up the score on Wofford. Let's take Virginia Tech.
I agree with you on that one. It's the first game of the interim coach, and they scheduled it well, whether intentionally or unintentionally. They scheduled it well. It is. In primetime, it's the matchup of Florida. Miami against Florida. That's the big game. I'm actually going to keep you in the state, though, Parney, for our second one, because the best state game this week is actually JMU visiting Liberty. JMU is a 9.5-point favorite, but as you know, Liberty wins their conference every year, keeps trying to get that invitation up to play with the big boys, has something to prove. I am immensely intrigued by this game, and I've tipped my hand. I am taking Liberty.
You give me Jamie Chadwell. He was at Coastal when my daughter went to school there. My daughter hung out with all the football players at the Coops Coop's Tavern, Coop the bar on campus. Give me 9.5 points and Jamie Chadwell. Guess who I'm taking? 9.5 points and Jamie Chadwell. Give me Liberty.
Take Liberty. Have some fun watching that one, 3:30, and then the evening game. Stanford, Virginia, we won't pick that one. UVA, 16.5-point favorites. That line keeps rising. Somebody likes the Wahoos in the desert. Stanford, of course, with Andrew Luck rebuilding that program. Let's get to the big action here. It's Parney's Picks. We do this every week. Listen to Parney Time. The podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. And then play along or don't play along with Parney's Picks each week. I'm going to leave the Commanders game off the board because we do not know the Jaden Daniels status, and I think that's relevant to this whole operation. What I do know is Carson Wentz is playing in his sixth team in 6 years. When he takes the field for the Vikings on Sunday, he becomes the first player in NFL history to start a game at quarterback for six different teams in 6 different years. And Parney, he's a 3-point favorite because he's playing Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a battle of replacement quarterbacks. Who you got?
Give me. Remember, Jake Browning came out and played pretty good last year, wasn't it? Or was it 2 years ago when Joe Burrow did his annual thing?
By the way,
he's not the first. Carson Wentz isn't the first quarterback for six teams in 6 years. That Ajua guy that played at Clemson and Florida State, I think he played football in college in six schools. But whatever his
DJ Uiagalelei, yes, of course.
DJ, you look a little lately. He was the first guy to play at six different schools or six different places in 6 years. But anyway, he probably got paid as much as the other guy too. I'm going to take the Bengals because the Bengals have a great supporting cast. Somehow, some way, they'll get the ball into Jamar Chase's hands. Vikings, I'm not so sure about. So let's go with the Bengals and give us a 3.5.
Fantasy owners everywhere really hoping you're right that the Bengals get it together, because there's a lot of prime fantasy players on those teams. A lot riding on that game of the week at 4:25. Cowboys Bears. Caleb Williams has been underwhelming through 2 weeks. The Cowboys barely survived against the New York Giants. Needed a couple Brandon Aubrey 60-yarders to finish that one off. Cowboys are 1-point favorites on the road in Chicago.
Did you say this is the game of the week?
This is I don't decide that, Parney, just so we're clear. Nobody consults me when we decide what the game of the week is. We got Rams-Eagles. I think that's a lovely game. We got a battle 0-2 teams, which we'll get to in a second. Giants-Chiefs. I think that's a good game. I don't select. The Fox Corporation selects. I think they let Bart Simpson pick this week. I think he's pranking us. America is we're shoving Cowboys Bears down your throat. Get ready.
Well, I guess I'm going to be out on the dock of the bay fishing at 4:25 instead of watching football. Although Tanya did get me the ticket for the backyard ball, so I can watch any game I want to at the seventh inning stretch, thanks to my lovely wife. That game, I could care less, honestly. Cowboys, Bears, I don't like either team. I think Ben Johnson's getting handed a little spoonful of humbleness, humble pie, right? He's not the genius so far that everybody thought he was, but I think he's going to come around. The Cowboys did struggle, although we were knee-deep in squirrels baseball during that whole situation last week, so I didn't see any of it. But I think that we're going to believe in Ben Johnson as a home underdog. And the point, we're going to take the point. We're going to go with the Bears.
He gets a point.
The Cowboys.
He gets a point. Chiefs, Giants. Both teams 0-2. I think we expected the Giants to be 0-2. Although Russell Wilson looked decent last week. But the Kansas City Chiefs, a surprise 0-2, going to New York, needing to get this season off of life support here. They are 6-point favorites in the Meadowlands.
Blowout. 27-6, 27-10, 31-13. Chiefs put the beach house on them, put the Richmond house on them, put the house you hadn't even bought yet on them. Chiefs are going to blow out the Giants.
Chiefs are going to blow out the Giants. You heard it here first from Parney. Parney joins us every week. Get better, man. While you get better, everybody can go listen to Parney Time. Final day at the Diamond. Y'all did a phenomenal job. I know it's a whole crew over there that pours their heart and soul into that. I think everybody left feeling that the building was done right by. So congratulations on that.
Rest up. We'll see you on the other side when you're healthy next week.
Absolutely. And hey, listen, October the 3rd, dinner in the infield. Is it October the 3rd? Yeah, dinner in the infield at the Diamond for Flying Squirrels Charity. So go check it out. Call the office. Megan's doing a great job on that, but we're selling tickets now. Because we never stop selling tickets for stuff. You know that, right?
It's October 3rd, Flying Squirrels Charities, dinner in the infield, 6:30 p.m., Oktoberfest theme, Bavarian cuisine, live music, seasonal beers, games, and more. You get a discount if you buy two tickets, $125, so you can take somebody you like, and it's even cheaper. Food offerings from Richmond restaurants, a Steinholding contest, live music from the Lowenbrows, dance floor raffle, silent auction. Fans are encouraged to wear their October... The Lowenbrows. Fans are encouraged to wear their October best. Proceeds from the event benefit Flying Squirrels Charities, who, of course, do phenomenal work in our community. Flying Squirrels website has your hookup on that.
There you go, brother. Have fun going up to everybody. I'm going to go back to bed and watch another episode of Matlock and then follow by Gunsmoke.
I don't think it's a new one. I think it's a rerun.
See you, buddy.
Barney. There he goes. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Funny, doesn't it? It's 10 o'clock. It's MP on the mic. Let's roll. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM with you for the next 2 hours. AWOD Radio takes over after that. It's been a week since Live from Lambeau. We're back in studio, very back, getting you ready for an underwhelming... expected to be underwhelming Thursday night football game between the Dolphins and the Bills in Buffalo. I would give the slightest hint of like a, hey, it's Thursday, chaos happens. You know my rule, we don't play Thursday night football around here. I'm not laying any points or anything because it's Thursday night football. But I'll say this. I think Buffalo understands how easy of a path they have to home field in the playoffs, and they know they got to win every week to make that happen. I'm not saying they go all out. I'm just saying they take care of business tonight. Could be a snoozer. Maybe Miami will breathe some life into it. I think more likely they're holding the Dolphins at arm's length. That's a bad football team. Unexpectedly bad football team. Mike McDaniel, offensive coordinator, Washington Commanders. Just saying. Planting those seeds now. Maybe we'll harvest them next spring. Cliff Kingsbury, of course, needs to win his way out of Washington first. He's struggling with that. And man, this is, I'm not going to say this is like a big game or a big stretch for Cliff, but if Jaden doesn't play and you got Marcus Mariota, that is a chance to flex if you're the offensive coordinator. This is, you know, we know what he can do with one of the five best quarterbacks in football playing at full strength. What are you going to do with Marcus Mariota and Bill the running back? Okay? Now you're auditioning for other jobs. Now let's see, because the team that hires you is a head coach. This is how this works traditionally. They're not going to be a good team. They're going to be a bad team. What are you going to do when you show up to a bad team and they got Marcus Mariota and Bill the running back? No disrespect to Bill the running back. I'm just saying, Cliff Kingsbury's got his work cut out for him. This weekend, it is Thursdays with Friends. Gary Hess drops by in a few. Lane Casadante by the miracle that is the telephone at 10:30. Parney joins us all the way from Virginia Beach at 11. He'll make his picks. Parney, as you remember, last year was on a red hot heater. He couldn't miss picking these games. Regression, it's a real thing, kids. It happens. He was 1-for-4. 1-for-5 last week. 1-and-4 looking at this. That's not good. We'll reload with a slate that includes, I think, some fun college games, maybe not some meaningful college football games, but we're back to fun. We'll take that. Wofford, Virginia Tech. We'll get our first look at Philip Montgomery and the Hokies. Is it time for them to switch quarterbacks, I think, is a question they'll be asking. In Blacksburg, Kyron Drones, is this his last shot to save his job at Virginia Tech? In a lost season, you play the kids. You don't play the old guys. And they've got a couple of kids on the team, including Pop Watson. He flashed last year against UVA. I'm fine with people who say, eh, it was UVA. That's fair. That's a fair take. But I know you got to find somebody who beat UVA this year. UVA's better. You're worse. That's, of all the things, of all the traditions, Inner Sandman's still there, and beating UVA's still there. Bowl game streak's dead. The national relevance is largely dead. They're still jumping around to Enter Sandman, and they're still beating UVA every year. The 2019 game snapped the streak, but it's a tradition that goes back a ways, and I think that's one worth fighting to protect in Blacksburg, if you catch what I'm saying. We'll ask Gary Hess about that when he drops by in a few. We'll continue litigating this Tom Brady situation. We'll get you ready for everything going on this weekend, including at 11:30. It's a bit of a tradition. We make the picks, and we will do that. Megan hanging out with me here on a Thursday morning. Big weekend ahead in Richmond. The Iron Blossom Festival.
That's cool.
Is this weekend.
That's exciting.
This is the first one where I looked at the lineup and was like, uh-oh, I got old. not sure what happened there.
Wait, okay, who's coming?
So the Lumineers are the headliners.
Okay.
I know who the Lumineers are, all right? So we'll take care of that right now.
Good start, okay.
Vampire Weekend.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
No.
That's our third on the bill.
Yeah, I'm already doing bad.
The Teskey Brothers.
No.
Dexter and the Moonrocks.
No.
Watch House.
No.
Future Birds.
No.
The 502s.
No.
This isn't great. Butcher Brown.
No.
They're from Richmond.
Really?
All right. So that's
okay.
Rock band. Mm. They're very good.
Yeah.
They're local.
Okay.
Though.
That's cool.
That's why I know them.
Okay. Yeah.
You play a Butcher Brown song, I'm not going to perk up and be like, ah, oh, that's Butcher. I just know they are from Richmond. And when I've been exposed to them, I thought, ah, those guys rock.
See, I'm used to being like the kind of person though that like only knows the headliner.
Whew, I'm not.
Like same thing with like Coachella and stuff. Usually I know like, you know, like they released that lineup the other day. I only knew like, you know, a handful of names.
See, I think Coachella's gone the other way where they've figured out who has the money. And it's not the 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's me, the 40-year-old. I've got the money.
I heard something about that. Someone said it was a very like millennial lineup.
It's a very very millennial lineup at Coachella this year. Yeah. No, they figured out I got jobs.
Is it like 2016 nostalgia too?
I pay my mortgage like a grown adult.
It's expensive. How much is a ticket to Coachella?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like Coachella's not for the kids anymore. The kids can go hang out, you know, at Iron Blossom for $150 bucks. The kids have $150 bucks. Kids don't have Coachella money anymore.
No, we don't.
That shit.
I can't do that one.
Justin Bieber, your headliner at Coachella this year.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
Again, very 2016.
Sabrina Carpenter surprised me.
It surprised me.
I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I think she's too big for Coachella.
Really?
I do.
See, I wouldn't say that. Like, to me, I saw it and it was like, okay, big artist, that makes sense. And she played, what was it, like 2 years ago at Coachella?
That's what I'm saying. I think she's... Can't she fill a stadium on her own now?
She can, 100%.
Isn't it time for
100%.
Whatever her Eras tour is? Like, But Beyonce did Coachella. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga did it last year. So maybe it pays well.
Yeah.
Everybody watches. I watch. Everybody watches.
Who was night three? I don't remember who was on night three.
Carol G. She's the Brazilian pop star.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah. Yep. She'll put on a nice show, too.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one.
I'm impressed they go the full 3 nights. Like,
me too.
That's the Sunday night finale. Mm-hmm. Like, you're asking people to give up 2 weeks to go to Coachella, not just one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The kids can't do that.
No, they can't because it's like a whole vacation.
You
the
can't
concert
pause
ticket, you everything.
You can't pause your DoorDash life for that long.
No,
you know, like
you really can't.
That's a lot of income loss because you're committing to Sunday night.
Yeah.
You're not showing up anywhere Monday morning. I know that. So you've now lost Thursday and Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks.
I wonder if it still has like the same aesthetic. Like people used to, you know, get all fancy on Instagram and, you know, certain vibes and
I'm working
outfits.
Under the assumption it is, but like whatever the millennial version of that is.
Okay.
Like are the kids these days looking at the TikToks from Coachella and being like, they're washed. Like they're not cool like me. Probably.
There's that nostalgia though coming back. So that's what makes me like I kinda wonder. I wonder.
Shoot, yeah. Nostalgia powers the world. Absolutely.
It does. But yeah. Coachella would be fun. I don't know that I in my life would ever go because again the ticket price and everything.
Right.
But yeah, that's a big lineup.
It looks fun.
There's so many artists on there.
Radiohead's gonna be there.
That's cool.
Right?
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they got me. Oh, Radiohead's going to be it. Maybe I should go to a Coachella.
You should. Cover it.
We should do the show from Coachella.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you know why we shouldn't do the show from Coachella?
Why?
It's 3 hours earlier out there.
Yeah.
When we did the Super Bowl in Vegas, this show started at 7 a.m., which doesn't mean I wake up at 6:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. That's not when you wake up for a 7 o'clock radio show. I don't know how the junkies do it.
No, yeah. I've said before, as much as I love like subbing in with, you know, Jeff Worker, and I did that like last... Yes, that's the key word, subbing. I did that, what was that, like last week?
Yeah.
And I did it a couple days. It was so fun. I love doing it every single time. The reason I don't have a problem with it is because it's only subbing. I got to get up at like, it's like 4:20 in the morning to get here in time to do the show. I could not do that every day.
Yeah.
I would die.
I was pretty close to dead the end of the Vegas Bud Light Big Game
week.
And we're going to San Francisco this year. The only thing I think is going to save us in San Francisco is that's not a late night town like Vegas is. Like,
that's true.
Because we went to parties in Vegas and it was like, show up at 10. And, you know, when they say show up at 10, they mean show up at 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, boy. This isn't going to work for me.
I was going to ask,
San Francisco is going to be like, do you want to do dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Meet you at 6 for dinner. I can do dinner at 6. That's in my wheelhouse. Look, Green Bay, great spot.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes to bed by midnight. It's fantastic. Those are my people.
That's what I was going to ask, like, what time you go to bed to do that show? Because I know when I'm doing with the thing with Wicker, it's like, I am such a night person that I cannot make myself fall asleep before a certain time. So if I have 2 or 3 days that I'm subbing with him, I am only getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep each night. It's not good.
I would sneak out of AWOD's show and go take a nap.
That's
how I managed that.
That's smart.
And I don't know that that was the best team play move. I don't know that I won team player of the week award.
Look out for yourself, okay? I understand it. I get it. That's what I should have done.
I don't know that I was 9-10 the fan MVP that week. No, I didn't get trophy at the end of the week for that, but that's what happened.
That's smart.
Here's what you'll hear on today's show. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to play quarterback on Sunday. We'll give you the latest from Ashburn. Get you ready for that game on Sunday. I think Virginia Tech has a big decision at quarterback. We'll go over that. Tom Brady in the broadcast booth. I yelled about that on Tuesday. People are still talking about it, so I'm going to keep talking about it. And the tush push. The tush push remains a thing as well, coming off of last week. So we'll dive into that. I'm at the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame tonight. Come join me at the beautiful Perkinson Center for the Arts down by Thomasdale. It's Thursdays with Friends. Friend number one standing by on deck. He is Gary Hess. He joins us after this message. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Now Thursday morning.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You got your mic working over there, Megan? Check in for a second.
I do. I got it.
Who's more famous? Coldplay or the Chainsmokers?
Ooh, Coldplay.
I think so.
100%.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
I think arguably the Chainsmokers have more songs you would recognize immediately on hearing them. And I think I would have said that before the video board situation too.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, at this moment, we're still thinking about the guy cheating on the girl and the video board and Chris Martin singing a lullaby to them, all that. Yeah.
That was a wild situation. This house near us, I don't think I've mentioned this. There's this house that like sets these skeletons up and they redo it for like holidays and different themes. They actually recreated the Coldplay situation
with
the skeletons.
That's good.
It was funny.
I bet a lot of people go as that for Halloween this year.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, a lot of couples.
100%.
That'll be top of the costume list this year.
It will.
Spirit Halloween's open. It's time to start thinking about these things.
They need to stock up, update those costumes.
They do. they don't miss it.
Easy money here.
They don't miss the Spirit Halloween. I know that. Somebody posted online the other day, it was a picture of the diamond that had been converted into a Spirit Halloween. So they don't take long.
Stop it. No, they need to do that. Even if it's just a Halloween costume for the diamond, that would be so funny.
Close down Sunday, Spirit Halloween Monday.
That would be fantastic.
They're on it. They don't waste any time. They are giving life to America's malls.
They really are.
They really are.
They took over our local Sears. So the Sears shut down and Spirit Halloween was in there.
Absolutely. I think, is that the Chesterfield Town Center Mall?
It is.
That's the one I'm thinking of, too. That's a good Spirit Halloween, too.
That's a really good one.
They
I enjoy that
got,
one.
They usually got, you know, the exhibits, I guess. I don't know what you got. Activations is the cool word. Now, I'm not calling anything an activation.
Activation.
Yeah.
I've never heard it called that.
If a corporate sponsor has like a booth outside an event, that's an activation. They activated their sponsorship.
interesting.
Yeah, I puke a little
weird.
In my mouth.
I don't like it.
When I say it, so there's that.
I really like it.
But thank you to our friends for dropping by today. Parney, Lane Casadante. Parney, 1-for-4 on the picks, but yeah. I feel good. We'll bounce back this week. He had a lot on his mind last week.
He did.
We were closing down the diamond.
How was the game? You went, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's a baseball game.
Yep. It should have been sad. This was like a big... Okay.
But I... So we did a podcast. Download the Parney Time podcast. It's very good. We did a podcast before the game with Parney and my guy Cheats, Ben Rothrock, dropped by Anthony Opperman, like everybody who's been involved with the Squirrels.
Yeah.
And it was like a share your memories of the diamond. And we're like 5 minutes in and everybody's just had these tender, heartwarming stories. Mm. About what the diamond means to them.
Yeah.
And Parney's crying and Oppo's crying and like Benny's crying and like everybody's just crying their emotions. I was like,
yeah.
But it's not good. That's why we're replacing it.
See, okay, I'm
the last unsentimental person in America.
You proved me wrong because I said on here, the people were listening, I said you were going to cry if Parney came up to you and started crying and gave you a hug or something.
And he did.
You didn't cry.
And he did.
And you didn't
We've
cry.
We've got video evidence. No.
I was proved wrong.
We're going to a nice stadium, everybody.
Yeah.
This is. I've waited 15 years for this. I'm so ready.
How long have you lived here?
Yeah. I've lived here. Well, I've waited longer because I've lived here 18 years.
Yeah.
When I moved here,
yeah.
The Richmond Braves were leaving because they didn't think they'd get a new stadium done.
Oh.
15 years ago, the Flying Squirrels arrived and they were promised, if y'all show up, we'll build you a new stadium.
Okay.
And
here
we are.
You have waited the entirety of your life here.
My whole Richmond life.
Yes.
I've been waiting for it.
That's insane.
But also, this is my job. I attend sporting events.
Yeah.
I go to sporting. I've been to all 32 NFL stadiums, all 30
That's
NFL
cool.
stadiums. I've been
That's
to
really
so many major and minor league ballparks.
Mm-hmm.
I know how bad ours is.
Really?
Yes!
See, I don't go to games. I don't know.
Right.
To me, it's just like, it's a Richmond classic. It's iconic.
It's a piece
of diamond.
It's a piece of concrete. We will... All right. We will revisit this next April, because we're going to go out. You know, obviously, we'll be there when they open the new one. And we'll see what you think after.
Okay. I'm excited.
I think you're going to have a good time.
I think I'm going to have a good time, too. So, truth be told, I've only been to the Diamond twice.
Okay.
One time, I went with my youth group when I was younger and, like, in high school and stuff. We had, like, a little field trip. The other time was when I performed there.
Yeah,
and so I liked it both times.
That's a pretty good get right there. I only go to the Diamond when I'm the star.
basically. And I want to be the star next year, too. I want to be performing again.
All
right.
Parney's listening. Parney, make sure Megan gets booked.
Please.
Play music. CarMax Park. It's going to be beautiful. But here's the thing. Like, yes, the building stinks.
Mm.
But a lot of good memories were made.
Exactly.
Along the way.
Yeah.
And it is okay to cry and pay tribute to those because baseball, more so than other sports, like, I say this all the time, I would never take my kids to an NFL game. Certainly not a Commanders game.
Okay.
It's drunken debauchery.
Okay. It's I gotcha.
It's not an environment for kids.
Mm-mm,
if you're an adult and you want to go have fun, nobody's canceling anybody here.
Mm-mm.
Go have fun. Like, I attend the games.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
I just never take my kids there until they're older.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
we can
I
talk about
that.
Some things that we see at the games. But baseball is families and summertime and friendships and youth groups. And
got all the different themes.
Boy Scouts and all the, and the mascots and all those things. So it is like, that's a place where you make memories with your kids, with families, with your groups. And those are the memories that we celebrate. And those are cool things. The squirrely fries and the ice cream and a helmet. And all those things that make baseball great. Summer nights, hanging out.
Yes.
Sitting around on a
Especially
summer
night. Summer, yeah.
Yeah. They had, they lost on Sunday. But they had Friday night, they had a walk-off win. Last week. Maybe you were in here producing it.
I actually worked both those games, so
And like, that's the good stuff.
I had mixed feelings about it because, like, it was really exciting and everything, and, like, I kind of wanted them to win the final game at the Diamond, but it's also, they didn't make the playoffs, so it kind of felt like, what's the point, you know? I guess it's just playing for fun at that point.
I think because it was the last week at the Diamond, it's cool. I agree with you in a normal season, like, playing out the string.
Yeah.
I think because they were, like, sold out
last
time at the Diamond games.
Yeah.
It was fun. So I walk into the Diamond. We do the podcast with Parney. It's empty. I love being in an empty baseball stadium.
It's cool.
So cool. Mm-hmm. And then go up to the press box, say hey to Trey and Blaine, you know, make the rounds, mm-hmm. all that. Tom Hondrecourt covered the Milwaukee Brewers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper. You don't know him. That's okay.
That is a heck of a name.
For 37 years.
Yeah.
But before that, he was the Times Dispatch's Atlanta Braves writer.
Okay.
And he actually covered the first game at the Diamond.
Oh, my goodness.
So he flew in from Milwaukee.
That's so cool.
And was in the press box and was telling stories. Jerry Lindquist was up there telling stories.
That's cool.
John O'Connor's got a lot of stories. There was a lot of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
In the press box.
You're going to send me down a rabbit hole.
Oh, so many rabbit holes. Yeah. I spent the whole day in rabbit holes. You know, Lane was over there. Lane was on our show today. Reflect on that. There were just... It's cool to be at the place where you're like, this is the place where the thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the place where the thing was happening.
Yeah,
I'd say. And they did a very nice job. They had a seventh inning stretch, you know, mm-hmm. guy, you know, with the guy hanging out of the booth and singing it and doing a sing-along. all the good things. And then they let everybody on the field after the game, which I thought was cool.
I heard about that. I did hear about that. Well, it's funny because, like, doing the broadcasts and stuff, Trey and Blaine did a great job of just, like, every once in a while they would get on there and just make it feel like, wow, this is the last, this is the last final inning at the Diamond, and just every once in a while popping in and just making it very big and nostalgic. And
it is big, and it is nostalgic. And also, we're moving into something better, so it's okay to celebrate as well. That's my final take on the Diamond.
Don't cry over the concrete.
Big stadium day. Commanders get a new stadium. That got approved by the D.C. Council yesterday. That's another one.
That's cool.
No tears will be shed on that one when they move out of the artist formerly known as FedEx Field. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury is chatting with the media here in about 5 minutes. AWOD's going to get you caught up to speed on that. Everything else going on in the world of sports, it's Thursday night football tonight. It's Bills-Dolphins. We're locking in Bills on Survivor. Let's ride. Take the sure thing. Life is short. Take the sure thing. I'll be down in Chesterfield tonight. Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame. I don't know why my voice cracked when I said the word sports. I don't know. Hopefully I find my voice between now and the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame, because otherwise it's going to be a weird night.
Yeah.
Wow, the MC's going through puberty. That's it's a tough night.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Wow.
Let me know how that goes.
We got a monologue. We got the monologue approved. We feel good. It was a really special night last year, so excited to be invited back to be a part of that. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday Fun Show. Get you ready for a big weekend of football. New coach at Virginia Tech. First win of the year loading against Wofford. UVA hosting Stanford. Commanders. Who will be the quarterback? Why will they be the quarterback? Will they beat the Las Vegas Raiders? I cannot answer these questions today. I honestly can't answer them tomorrow either, but we'll do our best to set the table for you on the Friday Fun Show. Back tomorrow. AWOD Radio up next. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Net 105.1 FM.